Ephesians chapter 2. The verse is this, verse number 19.
Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Ye are no more strangers. No more strangers. The amazing thing to me when I read God's word is the words that God puts, where he puts them, the place he puts them, how they're used. And it not only, gives us an intelligence into what God has said about us or a situation, but it also goes all the way to the soul and makes you feel it. Makes you feel it. Have you ever walked in somewhere and you knew you were a stranger? You didn't belong. You were a stranger. You can feel that. You can really feel that. I've walked in some places and I knew being a stranger. And that being said, I knew I was not welcome. Was not welcome. There's a lot of things that goes on. And God said in his word, you are no more strangers. Amen. People that are outcasts, people that are unfit, don't belong. Right. You know, I've said this many a time, and I've heard others say, people say this, that they could understand how God could save someone else, but to save them, that was hard for them to understand. Why? Because they felt they were so unworthy, unfit, and but God is saying here, you are no more strangers. God doesn't want you to feel like a stranger anymore. Feel unwelcome, not a part. If you're feeling that way, you're either unsaved or, you've just got something up here you need to get settled with the Lord. I know that there are saved people that battle that unworthiness complex. But we're worthy because he says we're worthy. We are believing in God's word to be saved. We are trusting in what God has said about it, to be saved. Not in how I feel. Not whether I feel like I'm worthy or not worthy. If it were on that, I mean, listen, I don't hardly ever feel worthy of God or Christ. Amen? I mean, when you think about him, I mean, really think about who he is. Of course not. How could we feel worthy? But Christ says you're not a stranger anymore. You're not a foreigner anymore. When he's talking here in this chapter about all of our position, our sinful state, how the things that Christ has done for us, the position he has placed us in, the transformation that he has made in our lives. And now, I mean, who we are in Christ. I mean, we were spiritually destitute. Look at what he said in verse 11. Wherefore, remember, Now, see that sometimes God wants you to remember. He doesn't want us to just dwell on what we were. But he wants us to remember where we come from. He said, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, he uses that a lot, in time past. In other words, you're not that way anymore. In time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Now hold on a second. You mean to tell me, according to Christ now, in Christ, we don't even carry the tag Gentiles anymore? Now that we're saved? Now that we're saved. Well, you might as well carry the tag barbarian. You might as well carry, and there's a lot of believers that are, of the Jewish, the Israeli state, and they call themselves, Hebrew believers or Jewish believers. No, those two can't go together. It can't go together. You're one or the other. Amen? I'm talking about our position. Hey, you may feel like a sinner, but you're not a sinner anymore.
Right.
You're saved.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Saved by the grace of God. He said, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, that's who we were, who are called uncircumcision by them which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That's what we were called by the Jews. They were the circumcision. They called us the uncircumcision. That's who we were in the flesh. That's how we were identified. We're not identified that way anymore. Paul said this. He said, in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. In other words, it ain't going to get you nowhere one way or another. One way or another. In Christ, it don't matter. Amen. Now, that was an act of spiritual sanctification, physically made through the flesh. God told Abraham to set himself apart and his family, and all of his household, the men, to be different. And he gave him circumcision. I'll tell you, that's tough on the flesh. That is tough on the flesh. And but that's what they did. But now in Christ, listen, we're not that way. We were that in time past. They were that in times past. He's talking to a group was Jews, and some of them were Gentiles. And they were divided, especially the Jews. It was hard for them to accept the Gentile believers because they said, they're not circumcised. They couldn't get that out of their mind and their heart that in Christ that was not going to avail anything. That was part of the Old Testament economy. That was part of what God wanted out of Israel for them to be set apart or sanctified for Him. Now I want to tell you something. In the New Testament, in Christ, there's some things that the Lord asks out of us that may feel just as tough. Listen, it's a battle with the flesh. And we have to cut the flesh. Deny the flesh. Deny the flesh. Brother Milton Taylor said, every now and then, he takes a cold shower just so that it'd make the flesh uncomfortable. He said, I don't want the flesh to feel like it's in charge. Whatever he's got going on between him and the Lord and his sanctification, hey, that's all right. If he feels like he needs to crucify his flesh by throwing it in a cold shower every now and then, God bless him. But there are some things. Listen, if you and I are going to be set apart for God, sanctified, we're not going to be able to bring the flesh along at all. We'll have to crucify the flesh. We'll have to circumcise it. I'm talking spiritually. We have to cut ourselves away from the fleshly man and walk with Christ. But he said, so we were called that. Verse 12, he said, that at that time, what time? In time past. In time past, when we were called the circumcision, the Gentiles, by those that were uncircumcised, the Jews, the Israelites. At that time, in times past, you were without Christ. You were without Christ. That's spiritually destitute. Without Him, totally, completely. Like being out in the middle of the desert and nobody's there. We were without Him. We were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens. Like strangers. Now he said aliens. Strangers and aliens. I mean, we were very much an adversary to Israel. Foreign to them. God didn't want his children of Israel. He didn't want them marrying our daughters. Didn't want us coming in and bringing our gods in and trying to change who they were. They were set apart for him, and we were aliens. Just like as if people from a whole nother nation that believe in a whole other way of living, they have a whole other set of morals coming into our country. And you and I who have lived in liberty are now bumping up next to communism because of what's coming. And see, that's what happens. And when people would come in, that's why God said, keep them out. I mean, there's every now and then a stranger could wander through. And if they wanted to be up, they could either go on through and they'd provide for them because they were a stranger passing through. But if they did want to abide, they had to become like the Israelites. They couldn't stay there as a heathen. They had to become like one of them. And he says, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, they were the commonwealth. That's the people, the unified people, the people of God. That's who they were. The body, the 12 tribes, known of one another. The commonwealth of Israel. And we were strangers from that. From the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no idea about any covenant from God to man. We didn't know the covenants God had made with that people. God certainly never made no covenants with us. The only sure thing God ever said to us was to Adam, in the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. And that's where we've been, dying. Dying with the rest of the world. But God made covenants of promise. We having no hope. Listen, we were godless. We were hopeless.
Right.
Godless and hopeless. I don't even want to try to imagine, now that I'm saved, what it would be like without God again.
Amen.
What it would be without hope again. Godless and hopeless. Oh, we are to thank God for the hope that we have.
Amen.
How we are to bless God that He is our Father in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. We're not godless anymore.
Amen.
We're not hopeless anymore.
Amen.
We're not in spiritual poverty. Without God in the world, he said, having no hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, now that we're saved, now that our eyes have been opened, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
That's how you and I are made nigh. Christ's blood made a way for us.
Amen.
That were godless.
Amen.
Us that were hopeless. Amen?
Right.
Us that were hopeless and godless. Us who were estranged, uncircumcised. Amen. God, have mercy upon us.
Amen.
We were, without fellowship, dead in sin.
Right.
He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He hath made both one.
Amen.
Saved Hebrew, saved Gentile. One in Christ. There ain't no difference in us and them. If they're saved. If you're saved, you're saved. You ain't. Listen, you don't have one up on the rest of everybody. We're all saved in Christ. We all come by His blood. We all have access by His blood. By His grace.
Amen.
He is our peace. He is our peace. You need to remember that. He is my peace. Everything He did to secure all that He did for me.
Amen.
He's my peace.
Amen.
I have peace in Him. I have peace that He is the Son of God.
Right.
that He did come for me, that He did die for me, that He was buried, that He rose again, that His blood is on high, that it was shed for me, and He has made a way for me to come to Him.
Amen.
My peace is in Him. Amen. Listen, when David went out there before Goliath, all them Philistines, their peace of winning that war was resting in that big old giant. We got a giant. And they was just as confident. They wasn't losing sleep at night. Their peace was in Goliath. And when David come out there, those Israelites, before David had come, they didn't have no peace. Why? Because they were putting their peace in the fact of whether there was a man that could beat this man. David came out there with the peace of God. I've got a God that can kill this man. He is our peace. He is our peace. You get unsettled, you get worried, look at Him. Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. He is our peace. He that is our high priest. He that is passed into the heavens. Jesus the Son of God. He that ever liveth to make intercession for us.
Amen.
He that by His blood our sins are washed away. He is our peace.
Amen.
He is our peace. He is our shelter.
Amen.
He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, there was a wall between the believers of the Gentiles and the believers of the Hebrew. And Christ broke that wall down. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. The enmity was the law of commandments. It stood against us. I was an alien because the law. I was a sinner. I was a lawbreaker. I could not come to God. But He, listen, abolished in His flesh the enmity. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now, He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled it. But He contained it in His flesh. In His flesh. So He kept it. He kept it. He's perfect. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. The cross brings us and them together.
Amen.
The cross brings all believers together.
Amen.
No matter who they are or what color they are.
Right.
And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. What did He say? Some of them, He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul told some of them over there in Romans. Boy, you're nigh God. Some of us were way off, but we're all just as lost as the next one. Whether you're nigh or whether you're far off, lost. And he said in verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you. Right there you could say, came and preached Christ to you. He's our peace. I'm not changing words. I'm saying he's our peace. You preach peace to sinners, you've got to preach Christ. He's our peace. The Bible says that plainly, for he is our peace. He is our peace. To you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now there's a lot of holiness people. They try to say they have the Spirit and they talk in a weird tongue. They say they're bypassing Jesus, going straight to God. No, they ain't. No, they won't. It's through him. Through him, by the Spirit, we come to the Father. No way is anybody ever going to bypass Christ. Not Mary, not Gabriel. Nobody. There's one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone. We have been spiritually adopted. This is the relationship we have. We have a mediator. We have been reconciled by the cross of Christ. He is our peace. No wonder Paul said, I glory in nothing save in the cross. And he's not talking about just the figure of a cross. I say this respectfully. A cross is nothing unless it is the emphasis of what Jesus did for us. Then it becomes something. Amen? It was just a tool for death until Christ, are you listening to me, made it a way for eternal life. It's what he did on that cross that makes the power of the cross what it is. Amen. A lot of people wear crosses. That's okay. But I don't think a lot of them really understand the fullness, the emphasis of what that is they're wearing. When I see a cross, I see the blood of Jesus. When I see a cross, I see the shame he bore. When I see a cross, I see my sin being nailed in him. When I see a cross, I see my Savior dying for me. Suffering for me, and not me only, but for the whole world. And for all sinners and for all sin. When I see a cross, I see God's judgment. When I see a cross, I see God satisfied. Amen. Thank God for the cross of Christ. Cross of Christ. Christ, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. See, he's picturing us as a building here unto an holy temple in the Lord. All that we are in the Lord. And in Christ, we are all framed together. Fitly framed. And growing into an holy temple. In whom ye also are builded together. That's the unity of the spiritual temple. The Spirit indwelling together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's the spiritual indwelling. That He dwells in us. He that dwells in me dwells in you. He's our peace. He is our peace. Amen. Thank God. You're no more strangers. You're no more strangers. Listen, we're not only welcome in the building, we are the building.
Amen.
Amen. Built upon Him. Built upon Him. Bless the Lord. I want you to stand. I'm done this evening.